Many Americans have asked a simple question about the European crisis. Does this affect me? The president of the European Central Bank warns it eventually could. European nations had to rescue a bank this week. Investors worry about other European banks. And central banker Jean-Claude Trichet warns the risk of contagion is spreading.
This threatens financial stability in the EU as a whole and adversely impacts the real economy in Europe and beyond.
But the threat to American banks is hard to quantify, as NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
It would be nice to put a number on the amount of money the U.S. has at stake in Europe, but because money moves so quickly through so many different channels, and because banks don't have to report where their money is at all times, it's not something for which there's an easy answer. That's not to say there aren't estimates. The Congressional Research Service last month put the direct U.S. banking exposure in Greece, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, and Spain at a whopping $641 billion. Major U.S. banks say it's much lower. Citigroup, Bank of America, and J.P. Morgan have the largest stakes. Combined, those firms say they have about $50 billion in private and public investments in the five troubled countries. Of that, a small fraction is in problem loans to those governments. Whatever the number, Timothy Geithner last week assured the Senate Banking Committee the banks have enough capital to withstand the stress coming out of Europe.
U.S. financial institutions, including our major banks and the money market funds as a group, have substantially reduced their exposure to the economies of Europe that have been under the most pressure.
Jacob Kierkegaard is a fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
Secretary Geithner has confidence in the U.S. banks because he's the U.S. Treasury Secretary, and therefore he has to have confidence in them.
But Kierkegaard says Geithner has a point. Banks are cautious about lending to European banks, and money market funds, those short-term low-risk investments, are also cutting back. U.S. money markets used to lend about $500 billion to European banks. They've cut that back by almost two-thirds. But there are other indirect ways Europe's problems bounce back on the U.S. financial system. Kierkegaard identifies the issue of investment and trade.
When the banks are not lending to each other, they're also not lending to many other private businesses.
That means slower growth for Europe, which as a region is the U.S.'s largest trading partner, and which combined with the U.S. accounts for 40% of the world's gross domestic product. Finally, there's another issue, also hard to quantify, that is both psychic and financial, and that's economic sentiment.
That's virulent. You know, poor sentiment in Europe will affect sentiment in the U.S.
Jan Randolph analyzes sovereign debt for IHS Global Insight in London. Speaking over Skype, he says the notion that we can limit exposure is itself limited.
Whether American banks like it or not, or whether Americans living in Nevada or Colorado like it or not, we do live in globalized markets, and that's particularly true when it comes to financial markets. And there's no way out of that. No bank can be an island in this world anymore.
Anyway, Randolph says it goes both ways. Just think back a few years ago when Europe found itself ailing from problems that began across the pond.
We were affected by U.S. subprime. You are now affected by peripheral Eurozone government debt.
In other words, what goes around comes around. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.